Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Stone Graphics Radio, folks. Good grief, we had a good show here Monday. And we're back on the air this week with the Indiana group, the Indiana Bigfoot Research Organization. And we have the owner of that group with us tonight. And we're here to talk about the camp out and a few other things that's been going on. And he's going to bring us up to date as far as what has happened since the last camp out. Last year they had one, and it's my understanding that they're starting to have two a year now. So I think that's fantastic. I want to go to our owner. He lives down in Martinsville, Indiana. His name is Leroy Nail. And Leroy, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good, Steve. How about you?
Well, you know, I'm not doing too bad. I wanted to get involved with the group. You know, I live in the northern part of Indiana now, but I used to live down there close to you, and we started campouts down there for about 3 years before you got involved and everything, and it seemed like we always had a good turnout. And I've missed the last two campouts because of illness with my wife and myself, and we want to get involved with what's going on, try to get caught up. Good grief. I got to get back in the group here.
Yeah.
So if you would, tell us about this campout and what the dates are and what you guys are going to be doing, what kind of stuff you're planning, if you will.
Well, on the campout this year is going to be Friday, I think it's April 29th through May 1st, Sunday, May 1st. I'll actually be set up Thursday night there, but the main thing we'll be starting on Friday. Hopefully depending on how many people we have show up, which we usually have some that actually come in on Friday. We'll go out in the afternoon and we'll do some daytime researching. We'll go out and actually look for some prints, look for some tree signs, and see if we can see where there's some activity been going on. We did that last year. We had a great day. We actually found one trackway through a creek that we found a number of different prints, casted about three of them. They was 14-inch prints, 5.5 inches wide. Had about a 5-foot stride on that one. At the same time that we was casting those prints, another group that was out looking had found another print in another area that turned out to be one of the best castings that we have so far. It was a great casting. So that afternoon we had a really good time. And then we done our evening, went out that night, went out Friday night and Saturday night. Both nights was great. We actually got some howls. We had one that was in between two of our groups, and it actually went in between the groups and had made a whoop, and they thought that each other was actually making the sounds. And I wasn't that far with another group, and I was telling the guy, I said, you know, if I didn't know they was over there, I would be thinking we should get some good recordings right now. Well, to come find out, it was something that was there. Everybody was thinking it was each other, and that wasn't the case. Once the two groups that was closer together, they started walking towards each other. And that's when they realized, they said, did you make that? No. So that turned out to be an interesting night and got a good audio out of that. So people got some good experience. They got to witness that actually happening. And that turned out to be a great time. We'll be doing the same type of things this year. We'll be out there Friday and Saturday, like I said. I think we're going to have a great turnout this year. We should have Lonnie Hawks, the Kentucky Bigfoot researcher, should be up, as always, and he's always great to go out with. We've also got, he's marked that he's coming. I haven't actually spoke to him yet, but Tom Shea says that he's going to come. But I haven't actually got to speak to him yet. to confirm that or not. I've also got Jody Cook from Ohio on the Dog Man. He says that he's coming over and actually going to go out with us this year at the camp. So with that, yourself, Steve, being down, I look to, you know, we're going to have a number of great people coming in. And it's going to be a great time for people to come and actually, you know, get to talk to some experienced researchers and really see what's going on. I also think that we're going to have a good turnout this year because we've been getting more and more activity. We've been getting more and more people involved. I put a posting on the website last week on Friday, I think, that I was going to camp Saturday night in the Morgan Marilla if anybody was interested. I had 16 people out with me Saturday night.
Really? Fantastic.
So,
yeah, so that's great.
That was just last weekend. You know, just like putting one posting out there, 16 people showed up. We found two possible prints last weekend. We had some really good vocals that we heard. Got a couple of them recorded. We actually had an excellent weekend. And the funny thing about it, Steve, and I'm sure you've seen the same thing, and you know, is Sunday morning, I got up and I'm standing and I'm talking to the two of them that was camping with me, standing there drinking coffee in the campground. And it's 7:30 in the morning. Hear a howl. And we kind of looked at each other and went, wow, that's 7:30 this morning and they're still howling. It howled three different times in probably maybe a 2 or 3 minute period. And I got looking around at the other campers and it really kind of cracked me up because no one looked up, like no one paid any attention to this loud scream that's coming from just the edge of the woods from us. And I'm like, yeah, and these are the same people that will tell you I camp out there all the time and never hear nothing. It's because you're oblivious to what's going on around you.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. There was a gentleman last year over near the campground. You had a chance to talk to him, and my understanding was that he had screams and stuff from three or four different directions, and this was happening at certain times every single night for 2 weeks. And they would answer back, and they'd get answers back from them. And it was fascinating. It was really fascinating. These people said, well, all we ever did was just watch that show, Finding Bigfoot. We never figured we'd just come out here and all of a sudden start hearing this kind of stuff. And, you know, when you told me that, I thought, wow, that's awesome. You know, that's great. Because I've been all over that Morgan Monroe. It's rugged in some areas. Some areas I can't even get to.
Yeah, now, I just found, I had someone tell me about it. And I finally went in and found it. And you may have seen pictures off the website where I posted a rock overhang. And we just went back in last weekend. And there's actually two different ravines back in there that have rock overhangs in them. They're actually
awesome.
Really close together. Found a possible print just on the side of one. It's a really interesting area.
Is it pretty secluded?
It is a mile to any road.
Really? That's awesome.
This is off the beaten trail. There's a small trail to it, but not no main trail. This isn't along a trail that everybody hikes in to go look at this. You know,
that's awesome.
It's kind of secluded. If you don't know where it's at, you're probably not going to find it unless someone tells you where to go.
It sounds pretty secluded to me then. Good grief. You know, those kind of areas is where you're going to find a lot of activity, especially at night. If you're out there at night and you're under that overhang and you can build a fire up like the Native Americans used to and just sit there and listen, and maybe give a few calls or beat on some wood or something, you might get some activity. You might try that.
Well, you know, that's the thing that we've learned. We don't really go out to say to look for them.
Yeah, right. You just mostly go out and look for evidence like I do.
Yeah, we go out and look for evidence, and then we kind of go back to those areas, and we just sit and wait for them to come in. If they're going to come in, they're going to come in. We're not going to chase it down in the woods. That ain't going to happen. So go out there and you sit, and it's like last week when we was talking, you're sitting at the campground. The best thing you can do is keep on carrying on just like any other thing.
Right.
Sit around far, have a good time. Kids are there. Let them play. Let them, and then just listen in the background. Because
how do you feel? Let me ask you a question here. How do you feel about just being out there in the forest and being among them? And you know that they're there. How do you feel about that?
Oh, at times it's a little nervy. Other times I don't think nothing about it. You know what I'm saying? There's times that I feel a little uneasy, and then there's other times that you stand there and you listen, and you're going, I know they're here, I know they're around me, and you know what? It's exciting. So I've yet to have one of those experiences too close that startled me.
Yes, absolutely.
Still waiting
on
that one.
You know, that is an amazing feeling at times. And you begin to wonder about it after it's all over with. You wonder, what the heck's going on? What was that?
Now, I will tell you, Steve, that I had one back in the middle of the winter here, late fall, I don't know, it's probably
late fall,
it had warmed up. It had been cold. We had a period there that had warmed up, and there was a lot of activity. There was three different reportings off of one road in 1 week.
Wow.
We had found one of them. We knew where it crossed at, and we actually went and found the footprints. We actually found the footprints going across the road.
I
went back at that day. I had casted one of those prints, and we went in that night and went back to an area and had built a fire. Edie had took a strobe light, like a disco light, little battery-operated.
Yes.
Petrol ball, and took this back into the woods and set it up on a stump that's about 4 foot off the ground. And on that stump, she put a bundle of bananas. So we're standing around the fire, and some other researchers come up, and they're at the end of the road that we're on, and they're honking for us and wanting us to come up there.
Mm-hmm.
So walked up there, and to come to find out, they had just heard something back over where we had the sightings at, busting down through the woods, and wanted us to come over and check that out. I was saying, well, we're getting activity right here right now because we're hearing, we're hearing some screams and hearing some things right here, So Vincent and Shane was standing up there talking to him, went back, and we heard a scream come from the area of that disco ball, light. And so me and Edie have decided.
I wondered what was going on.
Yeah. So Edie and I had decided that we'd walk back here and check it out. So we walked back the trail, and sure enough, one of the bananas was broke off of the bundle of bananas that was still on top of that stump. But it was just clearly broke off and gone. The bundle was still right there. We're like, my God, they came in while we're this close and took one. They're right here. We know they're around us. We just knew it. So we're walking back out the trail. We're excited. We're thinking this is awesome because we know that they're around us. Well, we didn't know it, and Vince didn't know what was going on at that point. And Vince had come back from the road. He walked past the campsite where the fire was, walked back the trail a little bit, stepped behind the tree. And after we passed him, he came running down that trail behind us. And all I could hear was them heavy footsteps, and my flashlight was about dead. And when I spun around, I'm thinking, oh, damn, my light's about dead. And it turned out to be Vince. He got called a few names.
I guess
it actually turned out to be
that.
Yeah. He felt bad after he'd realized what had went on just a few minutes before that. You know, he kind of felt bad that he did that to us. But he did startle me, you know. It was like, oh, what's coming up that trail? Because, you know, you can tell it's too this stomping as you come up through there. I was like, oh, my gosh. But it turned out by the end of the night, there was another one of those bananas gone, and the rest of them was set up in like a pyramid on top of that stump. Was stood up, balanced on each other.
You know, the last time I was there, Leroy, there at the campground, I had that big camper. About 3 o'clock in the morning, that thing starts going up and down, up and down. And I looked in the mirror, and I seen something doubled over running away from it. I don't know if it was a Sasquatch or what, but something was messing with me. And I'll tell you, it was a little discerning. I didn't know exactly what was going on. I know that I had went to the edge of the woods when I first got there and had invited the forced people into our camp out. And I told them, I said, just have a little fun. There's a lot of new people here, so have fun scaring them. Have fun scaring them. And we had Merle Smith and Jesse there. They camped right behind us that night. And we had one about 4 o'clock in the morning. Violet punched me in the ribs. I was dead asleep, had my hearing aid out. I put my hearing aid in, put my glasses on. She says, you hear that? And all of a sudden, a scream right behind us let out a big scream, and then all this wood that had fallen from the storm, you can hear this thing walking on it, crunching and snapping and breaking all the wood. And that next morning, I asked them if they heard it, and they said, oh, my God, that thing was demonic, and it was just, it was laughing is what it was doing. It was a ha-ha-ha-ha like that. And it did that for about 20 minutes. And then it took off, and it looked like it had went over, you know where that flat area is where we was camping at, down in that hollow down there that people had went down in there. They had packed up and moved out of there so fast it wasn't funny that early that morning. And I just wonder if they had heard it. That thing had went over there and bothered them. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, that'd been something. But where are you guys going to be camping at this year?
We're gonna camp in the main campground, which is the Mason Ridge Campground, which is right directly behind the Forestry Fire Tower. We will try to get in and get where we've been the last couple of years, right in the middle of a teardrop, right as you enter into the camp. Because it's a big area, and we can have several people come around. We can have like a round table thing right there and by a fire, and it's worked out pretty good. And then everybody else can just, camp wherever they want to camp. And then we'll, you know, we kind of get together there. We'll put up what time that we're going to go out. In the afternoon, and then the early evening before it gets dark is when we want to try to do like a round table type talk to let everybody talk and tell each other stories.
That's sort of like
and,
treat meet, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that. That sounds good. That's generally what I had, you know. I had everything going. That way everybody gets a chance to meet everybody. We had always kind of like had a lunch out, lunch for everybody, and everybody got a chance to know everybody, and everybody was more comfortable, especially at night, because, you know, people are afraid of the dark, so they, especially new people, they're not, they don't know what to expect. So when they, we got, you know, researchers out there that's been doing this for years, like you and Nancy have and stuff, they feel more at ease, and that makes them feel a lot better. So I think I think you guys are doing a fantastic job. You're getting a lot more activity out of that area than I could ever I had ever thought you would be able to.
Well, the one thing that we're really enjoying is we've got we're mainly couples, and we've got five couples now. I honestly have to stop. I have to stop and think and count them up, because we're gaining. We've got at least four, if not five, other couples, and we're just gaining one. One of the couples that went out with us a couple weeks ago, they actually was, they had experience over at Yellowwood. They had, was camping at Yellowwood, had something within the campground real close to them. Scream. He said it's a scream that he's never heard before. And then, he believed that it was actually come from across the lake. Something replied to it, yelled back. Then this one yelled back at it, and this really scared him. And they was pretty sure they knew what it was, you know. So they was starting to try to look into it themselves and going out, and they actually had came to the Morgan Monroe to camp. Jim and Tommy was up there. Jim and Tommy was actually up there camping that weekend, and Bob and I had just went out and we had found that rock overhang, and had ran across Jim and Tanya and was standing and talking to them, and this couple seen our signs. Seen the signs on my truck.
Did you hear that on my phone?
No.
I'm playing that thing that you had sent, the audio.
Yeah.
I hope folks can hear this. Were you able to hear a little bit?
Yeah, I heard a little bit right there.
Okay, let's see if
I can tell you what that is.
What was that?
Okay, if you listen to the whole thing, you will hear, I think that's 45 seconds long, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, the first part of it, you will hear three wood knocks. That is my grandson making some tree knocks.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Probably 15 seconds later, you will hear two wood knocks from a distance reply back.
All right. Let me play that again on the full thing so everybody can hear it, okay?
Okay. Yeah, those two knocks, that was just in the Mason Ridge campground.
Yeah,
we're just
fantastic.
Standing around the fire. We were just standing around the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I'm going to try to do here, let me see if I can play you something else. I'm just going to try to play it on mine. Let me download it first.
It takes a few minutes to bring that kind of stuff, so everybody be patient with us. This is very interesting.
What I'm trying to get up here is this probably happened maybe 30 minutes earlier. It's got to be opened up here sometime. Okay. Here we go.
Yeah, just place that up to your speaker.
Having a little bit of trouble with.
Well, you can send it to me, and I could play it and run it.
I got
by
it.
It.
I got it opening up now. It should be opening up.
I know that there's been a lot of activity there. We had every time we camped out, we had one come into our campground. One, I remember when Penny Gold was there, she had her tent and stuff set up, and she had set out some eggs and what have you on a log behind the campground there. One came in about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and screamed, and picked the eggs up and threw that at her tent. And then a larger one was out in the forest right behind her tent, screamed and pushed over a tree. And I guess it just scared her to death, you know. I didn't hear it.
Well, last year
my hearing aids out, and, you know.
Well, last year during the spring camp out, we had Vincent, Edie's husband, actually had one shake the back of his car. About 4:30 in the morning, he was changing a battery in a flashlight, and his car shook real violently. Scared him.
Mm-hmm.
And later, when he came back over, we was actually able to pull two big handprints of dust where they had grabbed hold of the bumper, the dust on the back of the bumper, off of his car.
Oh, my.
So that was actually pretty cool.
Well, yeah. It's amazing the strength that these things have. I mean, it's something else. You can imagine when we went to Tampa, Florida, I went down there to Busch Gardens, and we went in and saw the actual size of a chimpanzee. I was flabbergasted. I mean, I could not believe how huge those things got.
Yeah.
This thing's standing up, and it's a chimpanzee, a monkey, 5 foot tall. And I'm thinking, wow. Just imagine what a Sasquatch would be, a wild man in the forest, and have the strength. A chimpanzee has the strength of 5 humans. So imagine, if you will, an 8-foot to 9-foot Sasquatch and the strength that they would have. I believe that they could rip a man apart. Matter of fact, I have seen them rip a dog apart. And I mean literally, right down the middle. And that was, of course, on private property, but somebody had dumped a dog out of the road, and of course, it stayed around for 2 or 3 days, then it started chasing one of the babies in the clan that we interacted with over on private property, and one of the males grabbed a hold of it, and just literally ripped it apart. And then the owner's dogs, if you will, he had 4 labs, drug that dog up here to the house, what was left of it, and just literally tore it apart. And they were chewing on it. And I had called the owner 150 miles away and told him, go look out on your front porch. You got all four of your dogs are chewing on another dog that had been ripped apart by a Sasquatch. And he didn't believe it. I said, just go to the door and look. And he did. He come back 5 minutes later, and he said, how did you know that? You are home, aren't you? I said, sure, we're 150 miles away from you. And I told him, I said, that Kachi, the clan leader, had told us about it and let us know that what he was doing, because he knows that you carry a gun, and he didn't want you shooting any of his clan because it wasn't one of his clan that did it. And that made a believer out of him. That made a believer out of him. He says, I don't see how in the world you knew that 150 miles away. But
yeah,
that is an actual true story, and that actually happened. You can talk to the guy himself, you know, and I always named him Kirk. His real name is something else. But I'll send that to you in private message. I think I had told you about that property down there.
Yeah.
So it's something else. Okay, here's the whistle.
Now, on this whistle?
Yeah, I'm going to play that whistle right now.
I made a whoop. And right after the whoop, you'll hear a whistle. That whistle come out of that same valley.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I think I was talking during that. Sorry.
that turned out real well.
But yeah, that whistle comes straight.
You guys are doing a fantastic job. Let me ask you, did Nancy in the background, did she get a chance to hear that?
Yeah, she was in the room when we done that. That's right. That's the second whistle. That we've got because Eli had our grandson and made another tree knock, and we've got a whistle back on that.
Wow, that's
so
awesome.
And now it's just all within a period of
within an hour.
You guys got some good stuff going there. Let me ask you a little bit about Edie now. I know that she's in habituation and she's new to the area and everything. She's been involved in this for years as well. Could you tell us a little bit about her? I know we wanted her on the show. We couldn't get her on in time. I'm sure she's probably got it going on.
Yeah, she's sick. She messaged me. She's actually not feeling good tonight. But she has a habituation site that she's had going for over a year now. They've actually been taken from it for over a year. She's actually just started last week, made her first YouTube video on it, and is going to start making some more and document it that way, and she's actually got that out there. They kind of shows and talks about it. But she's been getting a lot of really interesting things that happens with that.
Starting to get a lot of interaction now, personal interaction.
Yeah, she gets a lot of interaction.
That's
good. She gets a lot of interaction out of it. One of the coolest things to me is, and it's just, they apparently like animal crackers. And she'll take a bag of animal crackers and leave those down. Let me put another part here that when she's out there, she sets and talks to them. When she's taking care of her habituation site, she's talking to them the whole time.
And she told them
if they like something, not to be carrying the trash off, because she didn't want to be going all over the place to pick up the trash. You know, leave the trash right there for her. And if they
that's understandable.
If they like
we've
something,
had to follow their trails before.
Yeah. And if they like something, you know, make sure that they bring that package back so that she knows that she likes it. Well, the animal crackers will disappear.
Absolutely.
And then the package reappears. Empty.
We've had that happen.
They'll bring the package back.
Caught one right out in the open, standing there dancing as he was reaching for the crackers. That was one of the most beautiful creatures I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, so that was...
we'll forget that. But
yeah,
anyway,
that's
she's also an author, I believe.
She's got one book out right now. It's called Indiana Bigfoot, The Beautiful Mind. It's out on Amazon too. It tells about just about her experiences. She's not really pushing anything. She's just saying this is what her experience has been over the last year. Over the last year. And it's a pretty interesting book. A lot of people actually like it. And I don't encourage someone to read it. But she's got a... We leave her site alone. That's her site.
Yeah.
So, you know, I respect her site, and I know where it's at, but I don't even go into it. Not unless I'm with her. I might glance over at it, but I don't go in because I don't know. She sets stuff up a certain way, so she knows if it's been moved, what's been done with it. They're constantly building in that area. They're constantly setting up new formations, tree formations around it. It's constantly changing. And she keeps track of all those. So she knows what's been moved. So I try not to go in there. We try not to go in there. You know, the ones of us do that actually know where it's at, we leave it alone.
Sure, absolutely. She's the one that's working with them right now, so it's only her, and she don't bring other people in unless they're invited. That's the way I did
it. Yeah. Unless we don't take anybody in there. I don't take anybody there. Well, she invites them in. You know, that's totally up to her.
That's what I like. That's respect. And that's what it's all about. Is respect.
The thing we can't understand is last year we had a trail cam on that all winter long.
Really?
And never called anything. Now, stuff still disappeared. She still had stuff taken. But we never catched on cam. Now, we could see a squirrel run across it. We could see a mouse run across that area. But we never seen anything disappear. We never seen nothing.
That's cool.
That's one of the things that you go, how in the world did that stuff disappear and we not catch it on that camera? You know.
That's something.
That's the way it kind of goes.
Right. You're absolutely right.
Like I said, we get a lot of interesting things. I'm going to send you something else here, Steve.
Okay.
They take a little bit longer for that one to come through because this is probably a full 12-minute audio recording.
Uh-huh.
That this recording was actually made in a place by the river where I have casted three different prints. Plus a
hand. Yeah, where you was at last year.
Right.
Yeah, I remember
and,
that. Okay.
Yeah, but we casted the handprint, and I believe that there was, what we really believe on that one is that a female had crossed the river with a juvenile, wedged up on the bank, and the juvenile probably jumped off her shoulder and onto the bank on top.
Yeah.
Because her handprint was right there. No, it won't let me send that one. You won't let me send that one. Sorry. Let me try that again. See if I grab the right one. But, so we think that it was a 10-inch print. There was a small 10-inch print and a 5 inches wide. That was just right above the handprint.
Yeah.
On the bank above it. So we think the juvenile may have jumped down there. The recording that I'm actually trying to give you was taken right there. That was off the old Dictator recorder, old type, that just voice activated, that was hung up in the tree. There was some food left base of the tree, and there was a trail cam put on it, left on it.
Okay.
The trail cam had been ripped off the tree and thrown back in the weeds. Had two big teeth marks in it. And some interesting recordings on the recorder,
mm-hmm.
and the food was gone. Now, the recordings on this are, you have to listen to the very first of it. And I don't know if you're going to pick it up, how good you're going to pick it up or not. But this is a voice activated, and when it first starts to play, listen to what's being said. It almost sounds paranormal.
All right.
I'm still here.
Okay. You're still trying to find that, huh?
Please?
Oh, bear with us. Hold on. We're trying to get another recording out there for you, and I think it'll be worth your while. Just hold on. Be patient with us. Usually we have an excellent show going on. Sometimes it's slow and laid back, so just kick your feet up. Drink something.
This
Enjoy.
Recording here, I believe it says either give me, feed me, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it almost sounds like speech.
I like to talk to you about your castings, too. How many of those have you kept? You kept all those, and how did they turn out?
I've got three real good ones. I've got some that's not real good.
Yeah.
That was done in gravel. They didn't turn out real good. The last ones that I actually casted, they're the ones that I really want this Jody to come over and look at. They're only four toes.
Really? Four toes, huh?
Yeah, they're a 14-inch print, about 5 inches wide, but there's only about four toes there.
Huh.
And it had a good long stride on it. So, I'm like, huh.
I remember that one that we had found had six toe prints.
Did it?
Yeah. It was about 3 foot from my tent one morning. Woke up and walked out there, and there it was. It was small. It was only about eight inches long. But we counted six toes on that rascal. I couldn't believe it. So we know that we had our tent opened up all night because it was hot that night.
Yeah.
And about 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, you could feel something coming around, but I couldn't see it. Evidently, it was right in front of our tent looking in because, of course, it was black as a spades out there that night, too. And up next morning, bang, we took pictures of it. Of course, I think you've seen it. I posted it. We had no rain, and that ground was so hard, and it was like real dust. So you couldn't be able to cast it. I mean, it was hard. It would have been hard to cast.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can play this so you can actually hear this.
Yeah, it would have been more like a fragile casting if you just poured something liquid over it, let it harden, you know. It was something else.
I don't think it's being loud enough to actually hear. Hey, hon.
Well,
it's right here. Can you go... I don't think you can quite hear us.
Give it a shot there. Let's see if we can hear us.
See if you can hear it better, huh?
I heard something squeaking.
Like sniffing.
You'll hear it sniffing too, but it's saying it before it's actually sniffing.
Yeah.
You can hear it trying to sniff. I'm going to try to put put this on an amplified speaker. See if
okay.
we can actually get it to do it. I don't think I can get it loud enough.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Well, just have to send me the audio when you can, and like see if I can post it.
Yeah, if you listen to that one that I sent you, you have to listen to it real close. But, it actually does kind of say, like, I think it says, give me. Other people think it says, feed me.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the case is, it's an interesting recording. What it is, I'm not going to say. You know?
Okay.
I can't see what it is.
But no, well, that is what you're saying. It could have been anything.
Yeah. I think I know what it is, but.
Yeah. You just can't prove it, you know.
I can prove it, and it's also because it's basically like a speech.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, wow.
Was it like a conversation going on?
No. No, it is like they have found something. And maybe one is messing with it, looking at the food, and another one is going, give me.
Ah, amazing.
So that's what's kind of really interesting about it.
Yeah, now that I like to hear that. That's been interesting.
You can hear different.
Yeah, and then you actually hear them sniffing. So it is really something. It is actually really something to hear.
Yeah. Now, how about that area back there at Mason Ridge, back there where the Lost Lake is at? Is that area still pretty active?
Yes.
I know you had a trip off one of the roads there and went up a creek bank where it went clean way back into a deep ravine, and you found a footprint in there last year or year before.
Yeah, that's where we actually found down there the creek actually feeding Lost Lake or Prater Lake. Where we actually found the trackway of I'm going to say there was probably 5 or 6 prints down through there that we tracked down through their roads.
How big was it?
About halfway back towards that is where we found the other prints.
Oh. How big was the footprints? Were they one of them pretty good size?
They was 14 and a half. Everything that we've been finding has been about 14 and a half inches long.
Yeah, okay.
It's almost just been consistently that size.
That's amazing.
Now, you might be able to sell me this.
What's that?
But I believe in a clan, I'll just ask you this question. In a clan, would they be families scattered out in different areas?
Yeah.
But it would be a whole clan? The reason I say that is because I believe there is a group that is in the northern part of the Morgan Monroe, and I believe there is a group in the southern part of Morgan Monroe.
Yeah. Now, that part in the southern part of Morgan Monroe, isn't that across the road into that other area where it's like a lost area? Hardly anybody ever goes over there. There's a parking lot that you can park your car.
Yeah, there's a parking lot, and that heads back off into Yellowwood. There's actually a 35-mile-long trail that goes along. That's the Kempsey Trail. It actually goes through that and over into Yellowwood.
I think there's a lot of activity over in that area.
Yeah, that whole section over in there, there's a lot of activity. We get a lot of activity in there. we get a lot of, and I think that encompasses the Step Cemetery and
yeah.
all of that. But then when you go north of that towards Prather Lake, Lost Lake, I believe that's a different group. I think they kind of split there. And the reason I say that is because we'll be getting activity in both places.
That, you know, that's very possible.
And that's one of the things that I really want to try to prove during the camp out is when I have enough people that we have people in scattered out in different areas and see how much activity we get from different areas at the same time.
That's good. That's what I've always wanted to do. I just never was able to get out and do that, you know, because of my legs. But, that's fantastic.
One of my goals probably Saturday night is that we should have enough people that when we split up and go out, we'll go in different directions, you know, a few miles apart. Several miles apart, and then that way we'll actually go to the, okay, we got activity over here, we got activity here, you know.
Yeah.
It ain't the same, it's not the same one. You know, we know
and
we have more and more.
I'd like to see each team that goes into certain areas have a recorder so they can record what they're doing.
Oh, we always do. We that's one of the things that we actually do is when we go in, Vince is real good about it. He's got a number of recorders, and he'll scatter out recorders all over the whole area that we're in and even take them a little ways down the road from us and set them up. But we'll scatter recorders around the whole area so that we can capture anything. So if we split up in groups like that, we'll have recorders, and we'll have recorders scattered out in those areas to see what we can actually capture.
That's cool.
We really don't like having recorders beside us or on us because then they pick up too much of our chatter, our noise.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of get them a little bit away from us so that you don't hear so much of that.
Well, that's a good idea. You're heavily saturating the area, but you're not personally putting yourself up on it because activity does come along. You want them to be natural, and they're not going to be natural with humans around.
Right.
So that's a good deal. You guys have learned a lot, and
that's what we do. You know, for example, if you went back to the parking lot at Prather Lake, you've been back there. We're in that parking lot, we'll take the recorders and put the recorders clear down at the end of the road, away from the parking lot.
Okay.
Or, you know, clear out the end of the parking lot somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Off in the woods, you know, one direction or another, so that it's not right up against us and that, you know, hopefully no matter which way the sound comes from, that we might be closer to that sound.
Okay, we're getting down to about 5 minutes here. So I want to go over again, if you will, tell our folks where Morgan Monroe is at, where you're going to be camping out, and the dates. And you also might want to mention your website on Facebook and have new people join. You folks have exploded in new people, so go ahead and let us know.
Okay, Morgan Monroe actually sets it. It's a Morgan Monroe Forestry in Indiana. It sits in between Martinsville and Bloomington, Indiana. A lot of people know about Bloomington, IU. It's just about 20 minutes north of Bloomington. Parts of it's actually in Monroe County there and in Morgan County in Martinsville. We'll be camping at the Mason Ridge Campground, which is the main campground behind the Forestry Tower. So it's fairly all you got to do is watch for the Forestry Tower. Camping there is just all primitive. It's $13 a night for a campsite, and that's just through the state. We just want everybody to come out and actually tell us their stories, and if they have something or come out and see what we actually do, and then just go out with us. But it will be the last weekend of April, first weekend of May. So I think May 1st is Sunday, so it's April 29th and 30th.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to have to try to schedule around different things so that we can all get involved and actually be there. There'll be someone at the campsites probably all the time, anytime someone actually comes in and wants to talk to us, whether they can
stay at the campsite.
Yeah, Nancy pretty much hangs at the campsite all the time. So one of us is at the campsite all the time. We should have a few people that'll actually be there at the campsite all the time. So if someone wants to come in, whenever they want to come in and talk to us, they can.
Well, I'll probably have my 1947 body there at the campsite myself.
Yeah. So you'll be there and you'll be able to talk to people as they're coming in. Cause that's
sure.
What's happened before is people come in and they tell us their stories. We had a guy that came to our camp last year, and it took all day before he started talking.
Mm-hmm.
But after he got done talking, it's the most interesting, and it could be the most interesting yet that I've been on.
That's
great. This one is.
It's ongoing.
This is an ongoing deal.
And we're still building trust.
We're still building trust. We don't say nothing about it. I'm not going to say who it is. I'm not saying where it's at. But I'm saying it is the most interesting thing that I've heard yet and the most promising thing that I've heard. I am
that is
so
marvelous.
Looking forward to getting with this guy.
That is marvelous. Listen, I want to thank you for coming on and doing an hour show with us and listening to Nancy in the background. God bless her. She sounds good. And you guys have done a fantastic job with the Indiana Bigfoot Research Organization. I want to thank both of you very, very much for taking it over and doing an excellent, excellent job. Excellent job. So we're going to sign off now and let people know that we're not going to be on the show for the next 2 weeks because I'm going to be in the state of Washington at a Bigfoot conference. And when we get back, we'll be rescheduling shows again up to 2 hours, anywhere from an hour to 2 hours, whatever I feel comfortable with. And we'll have you folks on again, especially after the camp out, and see how things went this year.
Have stuff that goes on. We're out every weekend, and
Alrighty. We
have stuff happening to us constantly. I know we don't post a whole lot. But we are out every weekend, and we're actually having something happen to us about every weekend anymore.
Excellent.
So,
all right, I'm going to let you say good evening to everybody.
All right, good evening. Thanks for listening.
Yep, and thank you, folks, for stopping in our chat room. And we got some wonderful people in the chat room. We want to thank you and all of our listeners for listening in tonight. And stay tuned for Stone Graphics and for future shows. Good evening, everybody.